أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ترى إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى الواحد القهار. Before getting into the bab of the masail or the issues that we're going to deal with, it's only appropriate and labud for us to take this bab, and that is some affairs that are connected to al-halal wal-haram. The talib al-ilm wants to study about the fiqh of al-Islam as far as the issues are concerned. He has to have this concept embedded in his mind so that he will be able to conceptualize what he is actually about to embark upon. You have to know these points that are concerning al-halal wal-haram. And there are about 10 or 11 points, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to try to get through them as quick as possible. It's not important, ya ikhwan, that you write down every single thing that I say about these points. But you definitely will have to write down the point and the adilla of the point. You have to write down the dalil of the point. And inshallah, we will at least give you the ayah and the surah that you have to go back home to read over it again so that you can get understand it even more. So we want you to write the point down and to write down the dalil of the point. And if you have the ability after that to write down small notes for yourself, then this is mustahab, inshallah ta'ala. The first point, dealing with the halal and the haram, is that al-asli fil asha al-ibaha. The first point is that the origin of every single thing in this dunya, the origin of things, is that it is permissible. This is a qa'idah or a principle in asool al-fiqh, that everything in this dunya is halal for you to do. It is permissible. It's mustahab, mubah. You eat what you want to eat. You wear what you want to wear. You drink what you want to drink. You say what you want to say. You buy what you want to buy. You sell what you want to sell. You drive what you want to drive. You walk the way you want to walk. You stand the way you want to stand. Everything in the dunya is halal in its origin. Everything in the dunya is halal in its origin. And all of you are aware of the fact that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the kuffar, before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they created a lot of innovations in their aqidah. And they started to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had daughters. And they started to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, whether it was Isa ibn Maryam or Uzayr, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Some of them said that Allah ta'ala was faqir or poor and in need. Some of them disbelieved in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Some of them disbelieved in Allah ta'ala's ability to raise the dead up. So Allah addressed all of those issues of aqidah in the Quran, that just as He brought the earth, which was dead, to life, He's going to bring you back to life again. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from nothing, now that you're something, once you die, He can raise you back up and give you life again. All of those issues of aqidah. Likewise, the people also created in the religion, in that which is halal and haram, that which was not from al-Islam. So al-Islam came to correct what the people did by saying this is halal and this is haram. So we need to understand that this first principle is that everything in the dunya is halal. What's the proof of that? There are many proofs in the Quran. The first proof is in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second surah of the Quran, in ayah number 29. Allah Ta'ala tells us in this ayah, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. It is He, Allah, who has created everything for you in the earth. Everything that's in the earth, Allah created for you, Bani Adam. The second proof of this principle is the ayah in Suratul Jathiyah. Suratul Jathiyah is the 45th surah of the Quran. In ayah number 14 of that surah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهِ. And Allah has made everything that is in the heavens and everything that is in the earth for you people. سَخَّرَ يُسَخِّرُ تَسْخِيرُ. What's the dua that we say when we get in the car in the vehicle before we drive? Now, this word, Subhanallah, سَخَّرَ لَنَا التَسْخِيرُ. Praise be to Allah, glory be unto Allah who has made this vehicle subservient to us. That's what this ayah means. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything in the dunya and everything in the sky, in the earth, musakhar to Bani Adam. The next proof is the ayah that's similar to it in Surah Al-Luqman, ayah number 20. Allah ta'ala asks the question and he says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Do you people not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this tasqheer for you, for everything that's in the heavens and everything that's in the earth, and He has showered you with His ni'mah, His blessing, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. So those are some of the proofs to show you this qa'idah. And the qa'idah that we first talked about, or the principle, is that everything in its origin is halal or mubah, except that which the proof comes. Now the point of proof from these ayats is that you all know that one of the names of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is that He is Al-Hakim, meaning that He is the possessor of hikmah. And we told on so many occasions that Al-Hikmah was what, Akhi? What is Al-Hikmah? To put everything in its proper place. That's what Al-Hikmah is. If a man is going to be described as being Rajulun Hakim, a man who has wisdom, he's a man who knows when to speak. And when he speaks, he knows what to say and how to say it. This is Al-Hikmah. So the point of proof from these ayahs is that Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim. So it's not from the wisdom. If Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that He made all of this for us in the heavens and the earth, and then He turns around and He says, but it's all haram for you. There's no hikmah in that. It's like the brother who has a wife, and then he goes and he buys his wife some presents, or his children some presents, and then he brings them home, and then he says to his wife and his children, all of this is for you, but don't use it. It's haram for you to use. If that came to our knowledge, we would say this man is Safif, Jahil, Rabi. He is not a man of wisdom. So that's the point of proof concerning this first issue, Ikhwan. Another very important point that's related to this is that, Ikhwan, if you were to look at all of the texts in Al-Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma'ah, the Ulama, if you were to look at all of the texts that we have, this saying that this thing is halal and this saying that this is haram, if you were to compare all of the texts that say that things are halal, you will find that they largely outnumber that which is haram. So if you can imagine this paper representing everything in Al-Islam, you will find that from here to here, this is halal. And only this small portion is haram. So the circle of what is halal is big, it's wide. And the circle of what's haram is small. Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy unto us, He has not made things difficult for us, and He has not made things haram for us. He has put us here to worship Him, and He made it easy for us by making most everything halal. That's concerning the mu'amalat and the adat. Everything is halal in its origin concerning our dealing with one another, just our regular life. But in the deen, in the ibadah, it's just the opposite. If it's the opposite, then what do we say, Ahi Salim? As it relates to the ibadah, everything is haram in the ibadah except that which the text allows you to do. This is still connected to the first principle. Everything is haram in the ibadah, except that which you have text allowing you to do. Why is that? Because the reality of the ibadah, ikhwan, is that an ibadah consists of only two parts. The first part being that you shouldn't have ibadah except for who? Allah Ta'ala. The ibadah is only for Allah, no one else. The second part concerning the ibadah is that you should only make the ibadah with that which Allah said to make ibadah. If we looked in this room and we left it up to the people to decide about the affairs of the ibadah, for every single person, there's another taste. He likes purple and he likes green. He likes yellow and he likes white. He likes mustard and he likes ketchup. He likes hot sauce and he doesn't. So if it was left to the people, for every person, there'd be a new ruling. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that's in 40 hadith. What's the hadith of Abu Abdurrahman? من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever invents something in this affair of ours, it's rejected. When the Prophet said this affair, he wasn't talking about the dunya. Do what you want in the dunya. Invent what you want in the dunya. When he said in this affair of ours, he meant the deen of Al-Islam. Don't anyone come with a new program. And this is why Al-Imam Ahmed says something that's very important concerning these two principles. Al-Imam Ahmed, he said that the origin of the things in the dunya is that they are permissible. And if it wasn't for that, if we made it haram, if we made the things of the dunya haram, knowing that the asl is that it's permissible. He said if we made it haram, then we run the risk of falling into the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا. This ayah is in Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus, ayah number 59. And Imam Ahmed said, the general rule is, everything in the dunya is permissible. And if we came and we made it opposite, if we made everything in the dunya haram, then we'll fall in this ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you not see the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down and you people make it haram and halal? Allah has allowed it to be this halal and you make it haram. And he said vice versa. Everything in the dunya that's in the ibadah is because you don't do it until you have enough. And if we turned it around, and made the things in the ibadah halal without text, then we'll fall in the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء شَرُّوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذِنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Or do they have shuraka or partners that have legislated for them in the deen that which Allah has not given them any authority? That ayah is in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 21. Surah Ash-Shura is ayah number 42. You brothers understand the statement of Al-Imam Ahmed? You all understand? If I was to ask one of you to explain it back to me, would you be able to explain it back? Okay, you don't understand? We'll come back to that. It's the responsibility of you, Nabil, to remind us after to repeat that statement again. The next point, ikhwan, the point that's important as it relates to the halal and the haram is that التحليل والتحريم حق لله فقط وحده. التحليل والتحريم حق لله تعالى. Ahmed, translate that for us. To make something halal and to make something haram is the sole right of Allah Ta'ala. No scholar has the right to do that. No one has the right to do that except Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah allowed His prophets to do so, it's because ultimately they're not going to talk about what they want to talk about. Their sunnah is what Allah told them to say and what to do. So when Al-Islam came, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala took the ability to legislate out of the hands of the human being and he placed them in his hands, and no one else can share with him. And this is why we find in the Quran, Allah ta'ala talked bad about the Jews and the Christians when he said, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. Those Jews made their priests and their monks lords along with Allah. They took them as objects of worship along with Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ read this ayah, that's in Surah At-Tawbah, one of his companions was sitting next to him by the name of Adi ibn Hatim. Adi, who was a Christian in Jahiliyyah, said, O Messenger of Allah, we used to not worship those people. We wasn't worshiping them when we were Christians. The Prophet ﷺ said, didn't they make halal when Allah made haram and you people obeyed them? He said, yes. He said, and didn't they make haram when Allah made halal and you people followed them? He said, yes. He said, tilka ibadatukum iyyahum. That was your worship of them. To make something halal and to make something haram is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how Allah dealt with the kuffar from Ahlul Kitab. And that he told them that they took their laws and their monks as laws along with Allah ta'ala. As for the mushrikeen of Quraysh, if you go back to Suratul An'am, Suratul An'am is what number surah of the Quran? Number 6. Allah ta'ala called it Suratul An'am because of what the kuffar used to do. They used to make parts of the animal halal and haram, and whoever they wanted. If the camel or the ox gave birth, they would say, okay, this is halal for the men of the community. If he gave birth to a female, they'll say, okay, this is only halal for the shuyukh of Quraysh. If it was barren, they say, no one can eat from this. And they made halal what they wanted and haram what they wanted. All you have to do is go back to Surah Al-An'am. Allah Ta'ala discusses this issue in detail. So Allah said to those mushrikeen in so many ayats, he said to them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَسِفُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ الْكَذِفُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Do not say with your tongues lying on Allah, this is halal and this is haram. So the second point is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the only one who has the ability to legislate. And this is why, when we look at the salaf of this ummah, the ulama, from the sahaba, when people used to come and they needed a fatwa, there were issues that some of them would not give the fatwa on except if they gathered up, the people who participated in bedr. They would wait until the major sahabas come to say, this person came and asked me this question, what's your opinion? We have an authentic statement that's been relayed to us by Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, who met Abu Yusuf, the student of who? Abu Yusuf is the student of who? Akhi Abu Humaira. If you hear Abu Yusuf, Abu Yusuf was the student of who? Akhi Jamaluddin. Abu Yusuf was the student of Abu Hanifa. So it's just like if you hear Al-Shafi'i. You know it's only one Shafi'i. If you hear Abu Yusuf, it's talking about the student of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Al-Shafi'i met Abu Yusuf. And he took from Abu Yusuf. Al-Imam Abu Yusuf said to Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, أَدْرَكْتُ مَشَيْخَنَا مِنْ أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ يَكْرَهُونَ الْفُتْيَةِ أن يقولوا هذا حرام وهذا حلال إلا ما كان في كتاب الله بين بلا تفسير. Abu Yusuf said to Imam al-Shafi, all of the ulama who I met from the people of knowledge of my time, I used to find that all of them used to hate giving fatwa except that which was in the Quran that was clear and it didn't need any explanation. If someone was to come to one of them and they were to say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, that doesn't need any explanation. Say Allah is one. If an ayah in the Quran says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, verily the deen in Allah is al-Islam. Verily the deen in the sight of Allah is al-Islam. That doesn't need any
explanation, any tafsir that's clear, something like that, they would say, yes, this is haram. Yes, this is wajib. Yes, this is mustahab. But if it was something that needed tafsir, they used to not like being put in that position. Another statement that's worthy of telling you is the statement of Al-Rabi ibn Khaytham, who was from the Kibar al-Tabi'een. He said, in giving you brothers advice, إِيَّاكُمْ أَنْ يَقُولَ الرَّجُلُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَلَّا كَذَا فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ لَهُ لَمْ أَحِلُّ هَذَا. Be wary of being the man who says to the people, verily Allah has made halal such and such a thing. And then Allah comes to him, Yawm al-Qiyam, and say, I didn't say that that was halal. So it's strange that we are nowhere near Imam Abu Yusuf, nor Imam Abu Hanifa, and some of us in London have the nerve to pronounce takfir on that person, to divorce this person, to marry this person, to give fatwas that you can take this person's money. It's clear that we're living in the last day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tabat and the sirat al-mustaqim. The third point, ikhwan, تحريم الحلال وتحليل الحرام قرين الشرك. تحريم الحلال وتحليل الحرام قرين الشرك. Who wants to translate that for us? نعم. Making what is halal haram an opposite. Whoever does that, this is a form of shirk and disbelief in Islam. The proof of that is the ayat that we mentioned before, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءَ شَرَّعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذِنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Or do they have partners who have legislated for them in the deen that which Allah has not given them authority? We told you where that ayat was. Allah Ta'ala calls them shuraka, sharif, shirk. Shuraka meaning partners, collectively doing something. The next proof of it is the hadith in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُلَفَا كُلَّهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ أَتَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فَاجْتَالَتْهُ مَنْ دِينِهِمْ فَهَرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَحْلَلْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَمَرَتْهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكُ بِي مَا لَمْ أَنْزِلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, Allah Ta'ala said, Allah said, I have created all of my servants hunafa. This brother's Hanif, this brother's Hanif, this brother's Hanif. What does Hanif mean? Upright, sincere, muwahid, a person who is not going to make shirk. This is the explanation of the hadith, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولِدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهُ أَوْ يُنَفِّرَانِهُ. There is not a person who is born except that he is born on the fitra, hanif, the natural disposition, the natural inclination to say La ilaha illallah. If you let him alone, he's going to turn to Allah in the sama. He's not going to say Isa is the son of Allah, the moon is Allah, the shams is Allah. So Allah Ta'ala said in this hadith, verily I created my servants hunafa, all of them are hanif. And verily the shayateen came to them, and the shayateen caused them to leave their religion and become Christians and Jews and atheists and communists and socialists. And the shayateen made haram upon them that which I made halal, and ordered them to make shirk with me in that which I did not give them authority in this legislation. So to make something halal which is haram, or vice versa, this is tantamount to shirk. The next point, ikhwan, point number four, at-tahreem يتبع الخبث والضرر. الخبث التحريم يتبع الخبث والضرر. الضرر in hadith 40 hadith لا الضرر ولا ضرار. Translate it for Ismail. التحريم يتبع الخبث والضرر.
We have two hadith explaining الخبث والضرر. When you go into the bathroom, what do you say when you go into the bathroom?
نعم
سليم, what do you say when you go into the bathroom? What's the sunnah?
أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. التحريم يتبع الخبث والضرر. لا ضرر ولا ضرار.
So what does it mean?
التابعين اتبع.
يتبع is from the تابعين. اتبع.
نعم نعم خبث والضرر.
نعم نعم
everything that's halal haram. Ikhwan, the next point, everything that's haram is haram because it is defiled, it is low, it is nasty, dirty, filthy, or it's harmful. It's khubath or in it is darr. It's dirty, foul, vile. Allah Ta'ala al-Khaliq. Adi. Allah is al-Khaliq. What's al-Khaliq? Allah is al-Khaliq. Naam. Allah is the creator. One of the names that no one else can share with Allah is al-Khaliq. No one else can take this name. Because Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام. Allah is the one who created the seven, the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days. No one else can take that name except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one. Why? Because no one has that description as being the one who created everything. Just as no one can take the name Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الله الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض. To Allah belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. You own your clothes, you own your trainers, you own your bedspread, you own your pillow, you own your car, but you do not own my bedspread and my trainers and my pillow and my car. Allah Ta'ala is the only one who owns everything. So He's the only one who can have that name, Allah. Allah is the one who owns everything in the heavens and the earth. Allah is the one who created everything in the heavens and the earth. Since Allah is Al-Khaliq, the Creator, then it only necessitates that Allah Ta'ala, He knows best as to His creation. So when He says that this is haram and this is halal, it's because He Ta'ala knows in making that thing haram, there's some wisdom in it. There's some harm and something is bad. So likewise, everything that is halal for you, Ikhwan, everything from the tayyibat is halal. Everything. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Actually, in the green plaid shirt, green and black, a new participant in the class. Surah Al-Ma'idah, what does Al-Ma'idah mean? Naam, naam. Ahlan wa sahlan. Iyakum Allah. What does Al-Ma'idah mean? The surah from the Quran. What's the translation of Al-Ma'idah? Do you know what? Okay, the brother behind him. Al-Ma'idah, what is it? The table spread. Why is it called Surah Al-Ma'idah? Answer. Isa? Because the Hawariyun or the Ansar of Isa, the Ashab, the Sahaba of Isa, asked Isa to ask Allah to send down a table spread, a table of food from the sky. So it's called Surah Al-Ma'idah. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, in ayat number 87, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. O you who believe, do not make haram the good things that Allah has made for you. This is proof of what? that everything that's halal is tayyib, and everything that's haram is not tayyib. It's dirty, filthy, or it's harmful. In another surah, in Surah Al-A'raf, Al-A'raf, in ayat number 32, Allah Ta'ala tells us in this surah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أَهِلَّ لَهُ قُلْ أَهِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَةِ. And they ask you, Muhammad, what is halal for them? The Sahaba said, what's halal for us? The Prophet said, made halal for you all the good things. That's in Surah Al-Ma'idah, not Surah Al-A'raf. That's in Surah Al-Ma'idah. When they came to the Prophet and asked him, what's halal for us? He said that Allah said, everything that's good is halal. So we understand, al-makhum al-mukhalif to that, we understand that if everything that's tayyib is halal, then everything that's khabith is haram. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبِلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبْ. Verily Allah is good, tayyib, and He only accepts that which is tayyib. So we understand from this hadith, if Allah doesn't accept it, then it's not tayyib, it's haram. That's hadith in 40 hadith. Now, دقيقة نحن نأتي إليك إن شاء الله في نهاية الدرس لأن الوقت يمضي. Concerning this issue, إخوان, number one, concerning this issue of everything that's haram is good, everything that's halal is طيب, and everything that's haram is خبث or there's some ضرر. If we have something that's totally good, طيب, what's going to be the حكم? It's halal. If we have something that's totally 100% vile or harmful, what's going to be a hukum, Ismail? Haram. If we have something where the good is more than the evil, it's good and evil, but the good outweighs the evil, what's the reason, what's the hukum, Abu Humaira? It's halal. If the good and the evil can be found in the thing and the good outweighs the evil, it's halal. If we have a thing where the good and the evil are in it, and the evil outweighs the good, what's the rule in Akhi Nabil? What's the proof of that? The proof of it is in the Quran concerning khamr. When Allah Ta'ala said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْئِهِمَا. They ask you about wine, intoxicants, and gambling. Say, in them, there is good and evil. There is good benefit for the people and there's harm. But the harm outweighs the benefit. When you go to gamble and you play cards, or you bet on the race, there's some benefit in that if you win, obviously. You're going to get more money. There's some benefit in that. If you were to drink khamr, there's some benefit in that. Calms your nerves down, can be used as a medicine. If you sell it, you make money, you make a lot of money today. But the harm is greater than the evil, because you're going to lose your mind. And then you're going to make zina. And then when she has the baby, you're going to get an abortion. And then you're going to go and you're going to kill somebody. Then you're not going to pray. And on and on and on. Now, it's my end. Here in this tafsir, Ibn Kathir brings that, and other than that as a tafsir, concerning this, he did not bring any chain of narration whatsoever. But he made mention of that, and he made mention of other than that. He talked about how it was a medicine. He talked about how you can gamble. He talked about how you make money, and on and on and on. So we're not going to exclude that. That is inclusive of the tafsir for sure. That when a person becomes drunk, he can start to, because of his senses, start to give sadaqah away. Or just give his money away, as we've seen before. A man get on the bus and he was drunk and he had an argument with the driver of the bus. And in America, you put the money in the, and it falls down. It's not like here you hand them the money. That would never work in America because they steal a whole box. So when they started arguing, the guy was drunk, so he took out his dollar and just threw him in the thing out of anger and smashed the money in until it fell down. Drunk. If he was in his right mind, he would never put in that much money for a 50-cent line, something equivalent to 30 pence. So we include that tafsir now. The next point, Ikhwan, point number 5 concerning the halal and the haram, is that in the halal, Ikhwan, ma yughni an al haram. في الحلال ما يغني عن الحرام. In that which Allah تبارك وتعالى has made halal for us, it is enough for us that we don't need the haram. And the fact that Allah تعالى has given us all of these things, that these things that are halal, then it necessitates that that is enough. And that which is haram, we don't need it. We don't need it at all. For an example, everything that is haram, you will be able to find something that's halal that's better than it in Al-Islam. In Al-Jahiliyyah, and Al-Jahiliyyah is everything before the coming of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have the affairs of Jahiliyyah present today amongst the Muslims. In Al-Jahiliyyah, the people used to make Al-Istisqam Bil Azlam, the divination of owls. If a man wanted to travel, he would take 2 owls and he'll say, Amarani Rabbi, my Lord ordered me to do it. And he'll write that on 1 owl. And on the other owl, he'll say, Nahani Rabbi, my Lord prohibited me from doing it. So he'll tell his child, come here, pick one of these owls. If he pulls out the one that said, you're ordered to do it, he'll get married. If he picked out the owl that said, don't do it, he won't travel. If he picked out the owl that said, do it, he'll go and fight in the war with the people. And that's how he decided his affairs. Everything that he wanted to do, he would do this, make divination of owls. And this is what the kuffar did when they wrote in the Kaaba. They drew Ibrahim making divination. And when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, he looked at that and he said, Ma kana Ibrahim yastasimu bil azlam. Ibrahim never used to make this with his owls. They were lying. Even though in Al-Islam, you can draw a lot. You can draw a lot to choose which wife you're going to take on the trip. You have more than one wife. And we have dalil for that. That's another story all in itself. The question now, Ikhwan, in Al-Islam, that's what they used to do in Jahiliyyah. Can you imagine making your affairs totally resting upon the whim of a 5-year-old child who comes and he chooses 1 of 2 owls, and then you decide what you're going to do? I'm going to invest this money because the child picked that one or picked it. This is jahil. That's the epitome of ignorance, and that's what shirk does. It makes a person become ignorant and weak and lonely. How are you going to be afraid of the jinn, and the jinn can't harm or help you except if Allah sha'a? How are you going to be afraid of the kuffar, knowing that Allah Ta'ala is quwwatul mateen? Allah is the mighty, is the powerful. So whenever people have shirk, they allow themselves to be smaller than what they actually are. What did Al-Islam replace with divination? Put your hands up. What did Al-Islam replace with divination? Instead of picking an owl like this or like that, Al-Islam has given us something better than that. Now, Salatul Istikhara. Salatul Istikhara. Who memorized the dua of Salatul Istikhara? Who knows the dua of Al-Istikhara? Now? Fashion. By heart, now, what do you brothers do? When you have something you want to do, you make divination of out? The reason why we memorize it is because it's not a part of our repertoire as it was a part of Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali's repertoire. They used to do it for the smallest affairs, things that we don't even consider, like whether or not he's going to visit his brother, fi sabilillah, on that day. They used to make salat for the istikhara. Whether or not he would go to the marketplace to buy salt,
on this day. So if you were to give yourself to repetition, like Suratul Fatiha, no one ever forgets it. Because we say it every day, all the time. This is an aid for us not to memorize Dua Istikhara. Wallahi, Allah Ta'ala has given us in place of that, and we say we don't want it. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. But which of the favors of your Lord would you deny us about? يَا أَخِي اِقْرَ عَلَيْنَا الدُّعَى. Now, now, enter. فاقدره لي, فاقدره بالضمة ويسره لي. اللهم إن كنت واقدره لي واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به. اللهم, verily I make istikhara in seeking good for you, seeking good from you, and I seek your ability, and I ask you from your tremendous bounty, for verily you have the ability and I don't have the ability, and you know and I do not know, for verily you are the knower of all things. Oh Allah, if you know this affair that I'm about to do, get married, make the investment, travel, if you know that this affair is good for me in my deen, in my livelihood, in my affairs, in the hereafter, then make it possible for me and make it easy for me. And then bless me in it. And oh Allah, if you know this thing to be evil for me, in my deen, in my livelihood, in my hereafter, then take me away from it and take it away from me. Take me away from it and take it away from me, and then give me the good whatever it is, and then make me pleased with it. That's a dua istikhara that needs to be explained. There needs to be a daratan dua istikhara, and it needs to be memorized. So inshaAllah ta'ala, the next Thursday, we want you brothers to begin today to memorize dua istikhara until next week by any of the narrations in Sahih Bukhari and Imam Ahmed. Any narration, there's some differences here and there. It's not important. You just memorize the dua. Next week, inshallah, we're going to pick one of you or two of you to read the dua for us in the majlis. Now, yeah, you mess up the program. Let us memorize the dua al-istikhara, ikhwan. We're going to say it now so that the people can hear it on the tape if they wanted to learn it. An Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma qala al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, idha hamma ahadukum bil-amr falyarka raka'atayn ghayr al-farida thumma liyakul Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi-ilmik وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك فإنك تقدر وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. اللهم إن كنت تعلمه شرا لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاصرفني عنه واصرفه عني ثم اقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به. If any of you has a desire, he said, to do an affair, then pray two raka'ahs other than the wajib salah. Point number five, ikhwan, is that the halal is enough for us in the haram. Allah has changed divination with al-istikhara. Allah Ta'ala has changed zina, where zina is haram. He has given us what? Al-zawaj, al-nikah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has made haram for us to shurb al-khamr, drinking wine. What has He replaced it with? He's replaced it with khamr in the akhirah. But we're talking about the dunya. He's replaced khamr with sour sack. Allah Ta'ala replaced khamr with super malt, mighty malt. Allah Ta'ala replaced it with milk, halib, water, zamzam. Is there any drink better than zamzam? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala made haram for us khinzir. Replaced with khinzir, all that other good food. Lasagna, shepherd's pie, pizza, whatever you want. Anything you can think of that's haram, there's something in Islam that's better than it. Sariqah, stealing and riba. Allah has changed it with that which is better. Like what? Tijara, where the man goes out every single day to earn his money. When he comes home, his sons and his wife respect him for the effort. Even if all he's going to do is to sell some incense, he did it and it's his own money. As opposed to sitting at home waiting every week, every 2 weeks. He has to do something to better himself. If he's going to take the dough or this money from the government, then he's only taking it temporarily until he gets himself together. He's going to school, he's trying to get a trade, he's trying to do something. Kana Zakariya Najjaran. Zakariya was a carpenter. All of the prophets used to be Ra'i al-Ghanam, shepherds of sheep and camels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made harir, haram, silk, and He replaced it with cotton. He replaced it with polyester. He replaced it with wool. So for everything that's haram, Allah Ta'ala, wallahi, Allah is ghafoor. Allah is al-wadood. Allah loves those people, wa muttaqoon, wallahi. And those human beings who turn away from Allah, and they're the majority, in spite of that, Allah is al-sabur. He gives them all of this, in spite of them saying that He has a son, that He has a daughter, that He doesn't know, that He doesn't have a hand, that He doesn't come down, that He's not present. Point number six, ikhwan, we almost done with this, is the qa'idah, ma adda ila al-haram fa huwa haram. Anything that leads to the haram, then in and of itself, it's haram. What are these points that we're dealing with, ikhwan? We're dealing with the points that the talib al-ilm has to know about if he's going to study about fiqh. He has to know about these things as they relate to the haram and the halal. So point number six is, everything that's haram, that leads to what is haram, then that thing in itself is haram. For an example, zina is haram. So therefore, necessitates that what's haram, akhi? Al-ikhtilaf between men and women. Free mixing of the sexes. Because it leads to zina. If zina is haram, then what else is haram, ya Ismail? Looking at women and not lowering your gaze. It's haram. Why? Because the more you do it, the only thing that it does is makes the disease in your heart grow. Because you can't grab it. So the more you do it, it just causes the disease to grow more and more and more. So it's in your best interest to lower your gaze. And it's difficult in these days to lower your gaze. Because even if you lower them, they're just all over the place. They're on top of you. Now, they're on top of you, but you still have to try. Because we see some brothers, they say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Zina is haram. So therefore, what else is haram, akhi, as it relates to zina? Leaving off the hijab for the sister, tabarruj, is haram. It's going to lead to another brother seeing her mahasin, the beautiful part of her. Zina is haram, so what else is haram? Being alone with the woman, and you see everything that the brothers mentioned there, dalil for it. And that's where this rule comes from. Zina is haram, so therefore the sister should not talk in a seductive way. Zina is haram, so therefore you shouldn't look at naked pictures, videos, TV programs, magazines. What did you want to do? Zina is haram,
So the woman shouldn't leave home, but this is shidda here. This is harshness here, because the woman is allowed to leave home out of necessity, yes. And that's one of the reasons. Now, that's one of the reasons, no doubt about it. If she was in the home, it would become more difficult for her. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So, concerning this principle, ikhwan, what leads to haram, what leads to that which is haram, is haram. We need to understand that in al-Islam, the one who, just the crime that's being mentioned about, a lot of times other things connected to that crime, al-Islam has looked down upon it and frowned upon it. Another one of the proofs of this point is the issue of al-Khamr, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel came to him and he said, Ya Muhammad, Inna Allah qad la'ana al-Khamr wa'asiraha wa-mu'tasiraha wa-hamilaha والمحمولة إليه وشاربها وبايعها ومبتاعها وساقيها ومسقاها. This hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad in the Tirmidhi. Jibreel came to the Prophet and said, O Muhammad, verily Allah has cursed wine and the one who squeezes the grape when he does it for the wine, and the one who the wine is being squeezed for, the grapes are being squeezed for him. Allah has cursed the wine and the one who squeezes the grapes to make the wine, and the one who the grapes are being squeezed for, and the one who carries the wine, and the one who the wine is carried to, and the one who drinks the wine, and the one who sells the wine, and the one who buys the wine, and the one who pours the wine so that it can be drank, and the place where the wine is drank. So therefore we understand, actually, based upon this hadith, a number of things. Number one, no, we cannot now go to the billiard club where they're drinking wine, because the hadith said Allah cursed the place. The place where the wine is being consumed is cursed. So we understand from this hadith, actually, that I cannot drive the Heineken truck and say, well, I'm not drinking it, because the one who carries and transports the wine, Allah has cursed it. Similar to it is the hadith about riba, where the Prophet ﷺ said, or the Sahaba said, لا أنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الربا وموكلها وآكلها وشاربها والشاهدين. The Prophet has cursed the riba, and the one who consumes it, and the one who writes it, and the one who witnesses it, and the one who is being given for. All of them are equal, as he said in the hadith, hum sawa, they're equal in ism, in the responsibility, as well as in the sin. So just because the thing is haram, we cannot detach from that thing all of the other external forces that are connected to it. It's all connected. Now, and it's also, ikhwan, not permissible for you to work in the bank, to sweep the floor of the bank, because you're helping the people of the bank to do that which is haram with the riba. So find you a job that's halal, inshallah ta'ala. Now, necessity, you have to go and buy it, so you buy it. Out of necessity, and we're going to come to this. Out of necessity, you go and you buy it, hating it in your heart, and having wara. And what's wara? Wara is awareness where you try to go to other than that place. If they sell wine, and this other store sells wine, the one that sells the least amount of wine, that's the one we go to. You try your best and say Allah to the best of your ability. Now, same thing. These places and these things, we should have a wara, and that's the difference between us and them in the past. Those people had wara, and they didn't think twice about it. And it was like, all of my companions, all of them are wara, to the point that if one of them was seen in Pizza Hut, he would be petrified to be seen in Pizza Hut. But now, for someone to be seen in Pizza Hut, that's not a big thing. It's not a thing that really shakes the iman, and that comes from us being in this society. That comes from us being 1,417 years away from the revelation. That comes from us being so many thousands of miles away from Medina. Let us deal with those questions after. Write the questions down and remember them, because we have just three more points to deal with. This next point is important concerning the haram and the halal, and that is that it is haram, ikhwan, to play games with that which is haram. It's haram to play games with that which is haram in order to make it halal in a roundabout way. Because as al-Islam has made everything that leads to the haram haram, al-Islam has also made it haram for you to play with the haram to make it halal. And this is why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked and exposed for us to know. We wouldn't have known this had Allah ta'ala not told us this. He exposed the Jews for fishing on the Friday, trying to catch the fish for the Saturday, and it was haram for them to fish on the Saturday. They fished on the day of the Sabbath to catch the fish, to have the fish the next day. It was haram for them to fish on the Sabbath, so they threw the nets out and they played a game on Allah Ta'ala, so that they can come tomorrow and say, we didn't hunt anything, we didn't fish. This is a game. This is haram, to play with that which Allah has made haram in order to make it halal, to get around it. We have an example of that that has taken place in this ummah, many manifestations of that. The Prophet ﷺ told us of some of them. One of them is the hadith of Al-Imam Ahmad, where the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَشْرَبَنَّ النَّاسُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَمَرِ يُسَمُّونَهَا بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهَا. There will be people from my community who are going to consume intoxicant wine, and then they're going to call it by other than its name. That's the authentic hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. So instead of the man saying, I'm drinking khamr or wine or whiskey or an intoxicant, he says that khamr is spirit. They name it by any name that they want to name it. Some of these drinks that have alcohol in it, but not enough to make you drunk. He says, well, it only has 2% alcohol. They have on the thing, no alcohol. In America, no alcohol means it's not enough alcohol to make you drunk, but it has alcohol in it. No alcohol means in America that it has alcohol in it. We have to look for non-alcoholic. And subhanAllah, you find the brothers always looking for the beer that tastes like beer, but no alcohol. Because we still desire the taste. Now, in the Muslim countries, they have this as well, and they have alcohol in it. They have Musi beer in Medina. Musi. Another example of it, ikhwan, that people come to al-Islam still smoking marijuana, saying that Allah said, take from the good things from the earth, and marijuana is natural. Marijuana is haram. We have people who do it with riba. They say, as the people said in the Quran, the kuffar, they said that al-bay kariba, buying and selling is like riba. I go to the store, I buy this for £10, and I come back and I sell it for £15. That's halal. So when this man wants to borrow £10 from me, I say, okay, I'll borrow you £10, just give me £15 when it's time to pay it back. So they said buying is like riba. It's the same principle. But Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ فَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah made buying and selling halal, and He made riba haram. So we used to hear this when we first became Muslims. We were with a group of people, Nasrullah al-Afi wa salam. They've gone backwards. the 10 years of Al-Islam, every time we go back to visit them, wallahi, they've gone backwards. They used to say to us, how are we going to save our money? We'll have to put it in the bank account. We said, the bank is haram. Let's not put our money in the bank. Then we found out you could put your money in the bank out of necessity. So they said, let's get an interest-bearing account and use the interest. We said, clearly interest is haram. And they said to us, buying is just like interest. Another example of it today, ikhwan, is our Muslim brothers who sell wine and khinzir and videos to non-Muslims and to Muslims alike. We have the people who sell the swine to non-Muslims because they have supermarkets or grocery stores. And they say, well, I'm selling it to the kuffar. Prophet said, إِذَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا حَرَّمَ ثَمَنُ. If Allah makes something haram, He also makes haram its price. You can't buy a khinzir. You can't buy a kalb. A kalb is different. And a khinzir is different if you needed him for some situation that you had on the farm. But you just can't buy that which Allah has made haram. Another example is music and acting. Where they say music and acting is an art. Is art. That the man and the woman, he gets up and he plays the role of Fir'aun. And she gets up and she plays the role of Abu Lahab's wife. Or he plays the role of Shaytan. And this one plays the role of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lying. And then they say this is art. All of that is naming things by other than their true name. And that which is halal, ikhwan, is enough for us. We don't need that which is haram. Finally, ikhwan, the last few points. Point number 8. Al-wuqu' fi shubahat haram. To fall into the doubtful matters is haram. The Muslim should stay away from the doubtful matters. The hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir in 40 hadith. Very the halal is clear and the haram is clear. And between them is the gray area that not many people know about. So whoever stays away from the gray area, he has protected his deen and his honor. And whoever falls into the gray area, he has fallen into the haram. He has fallen into the haram. Point number 9. النية الطيبة لا تجعل الحرام حلالا ولا العكس. The good niyyah that a person has does not make the halal haram, nor does it make the haram halal. إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. The good niyyah does not make something halal or haram. Your niyyah has nothing to do with that. So we need some money for the school next door. We cannot go and rob the crack dealers to bring the money back to put it in the sadaqah box. This is a Machiavellian concept. The ends justify the means. If the ends are good, then we go and do it. As many of these jama'at have. Almost every single jama'at that you find present today, this is one of their rules that they use. The ends justify the means. Oh, you can lie. You can lie in order to make the people stay with you. The shabab, they're young, you can let them listen to music. You can create hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, there's going to be a jama'at at the end of time called Hizbul Tahrir. Whoever's a part of it will go to Jannah. This is how far the people will go, like the Ahnaf did. And like the Hanabila did. All of them did this. Created hadith about one another and for themselves. The ends do not justify the means in Al-Islam. Just as the ends have to be Nabil, honorable, and Sharif, the means by which you acquire and obtain those ends have to be Nabil and Sharif. They have to be honorable. Or it's rejected. Why? Because of the thing that we said before. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ وَلَا يَقْدِرُ إِلَّا طَيِّبْ. Allah is good, and He only accepts that which is good. And in the halal is that which is enough. You don't need that which is haram. And lastly, ikhwan, or number 10, the haram and the halal applies to everyone. So if Allah Ta'ala has made al-khamr haram, no one can stand up and say, well, He made it haram on everyone except the Jamaicans. Barakatuh Ramtullah. Or He made it haram on everyone except the women, or the black people, or the Arabs. The halal and the haram applies to everyone, equally, across the board, except where there's some text coming to show there's a distinction, or there's a difference. And lastly, the very last issue, point number 11, is the qa'ida or the principle in the usul al-fiqh. Ad-dururat tabih al-mahdurat. Necessity makes permissible that which is haram. Necessity makes the haram permissible. So as you can see, some of the questions that were asked, if you had these concepts under your belt and you understood them, as it relates to these issues, all you have to do is look at these 11 points and figure out, where does this fall in when you want to act? Is the anashid al-islamiyah permissible? You know the anashid, the Islamic songs, is it permissible or not? Look at this, what we just gave you. You should go home and write this thing out real nice and paste it up so that you can really get a good understanding of it and practically memorize it. That which is haram, the durura or necessity, makes it halal. But it only makes it halal temporarily, as long as you need it. We get that from four surahs in the Quran, like Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُحِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْتُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah ta'ala says in four different surahs, verily He has made haram for you the meat that comes from the dead animal. If you found the animal that was dead, you can't eat that meat. And the meat of the khinzir, and what has been slaughtered for other than Allah Ta'ala. But whoever is forced out of necessity, and he's not going after it, and he's not transgressing the bounds, then there's no harm upon him. If a man is on the desert, shipwrecked, on the desert, and he finds a dead animal or some khinzir and a case of Heineken, and the water is salt water that he can't drink, he can eat from that khinzir just enough to keep him going to the next day, to sustain him to the next day. He can drink some of the Heineken just enough to keep him going. But for him to sit there and he says, well, I'm not going to eat the khinzir because I know if I drink the Heineken first, when I have an empty stomach, it's going to affect me more, so I drink 10 Heineken first. Then I start drinking, eating the khinzir. This one is barbecue, this one is bacon, this one is like that. Nah, you only eat enough. And that's where we get the second rule that comes from this rule. And that second principle that comes from this rule, this is not another point. This is another rule connected to this rule, which is that the haram becomes halal because of necessity. The second rule is, الدرورة تقدر بقدرها. That necessity is determined by, it's hard to translate that. That necessity, that need that you have to eat, is going to be determined by, I guess you can say, by how much you need. Yeah, I guess that's a rough translation. That's very difficult. I'll give you an example, Islam. There's a woman, fairly, a middle-aged woman, 35, 36, who most of us normally, we wouldn't marry them, because most of us are younger than that, 20, 22, 25. We're looking for someone who's a Muslim, young like us. So this woman, when we go to cross the street, we find that because of the high heels that she's wearing, she steps off the curb, twists her ankle, and she falls and breaks her ankle. So you're the only one around. Now she really needs your help. And you know that Al-Islam allows you now to help this woman. So you take her by her hand, and you help her up, and that's haram to touch her, because the Prophet said, لِأَنْ يُتْعَنْ أَحَدَكُمْ بِرَأْسِهِ بِمَخِيطْ مِنْ حَدِيدْ خَيْرُ لَهُ أَنْ يُمَسْتُمْ رَأَى لَا تُحِلُّ لَهُ. For one of you to touch a woman who's not halal for you, it's better for you to be hitting your head with an iron pipe before you touch her. Haram to touch her. We find these people shaking hands. And then these jama'ahs say, well, it's the culture. The culture of the people make things halal and haram. What are you talking about? We studied that. We don't believe that. So you pick the girl up, and that's haram. But necessity. You pick her up, and you take her 5 or 6 steps, and you sit her down, and you say, okay, I'm going to go up here, and I'm going to tell the police officer what happened. You go about your business. The touching her was haram. But because it was needed, that what you did, that small portion of what you did, that's what Islam allows you to. That durura or necessity allows you that much. Now for the person to come. And instead of grabbing her by the hand, she could have got up, just grabbed you by the hand. He bends down, he grabs her under her leg and behind her arm. And he picks her up and he walks down the street with her. And so he says, okay, you wait right there. And then he brings the car and puts her in the car. And then he drives her to her house. And then he picks her up again and then takes her to the house. Nah, you can't say this is durura, necessity now. It's not necessity. This is going beyond the limit. You're going beyond the bounds. The necessity is determined by how much is needed for that thing. You brothers understand that point. After this, ikhwan, we have no... We don't have, inshallah, any other things to do other than to go right into the issues of Sahara and Fadl. Now I'm okay, inshallah. Tell him to wait. We're going to give him shahada. Where is he at? Okay, tell him to wait. Huh? He's not rushing, is he? I mean, he's not in a hurry. Inshallah, he's not rushing. Okay, ikhwan. You brothers have any questions? You're the only one that. Now it's my father. Nam. Nah, that's absolutely right, Akhi. And we mentioned that so many times in the classes that it's not permissible for the man to be by himself with another woman. And so many of the Salaf, like Al-Imam Ahmed, said even to teach her the Quran, which is the best speech. The best speech is the speech of Allah. Now, concerning the Pizza Hut situation and what's similar to it, if we want to make qiyas on Pizza Hut and everything else that's similar to that, where you can get a vegetarian meal that has no pork and nothing that's haram in it, but quite obviously the guy is not washing his hands, and we know that for a fact. Should we or should we not get the vegetarian meal? We say that this is a situation where al-wara is better, to leave alone that which you doubt, for that which you don't doubt is better, no doubt about it, because you'll come yawm al-qiyamah and you won't have to be questioned about it in any shape, form, or fashion. But because there are not many places that we can eat from who are offering these types of services, this can also be looked at as what the Prophet ﷺ said, halaka mutanafti'un, halaka mutanafti'un, halaka mutanafti'un, when he said, those people who split hair are destroyed. They have been destroyed. The ones who go through the issues in very, very fine detail, they say, okay, since the man handled the pork,
there's some residual effects that are still taking place with your pizza. And then the brother has to say, yeah, but how do you know that since he last handled the pork, between the time of the pork and my pizza, he didn't handle another vegetarian pizza? So now that residual effect has fallen off into the other person's pizza that I'm not responsible for. And then it's on and on and on and on. So no doubt, so that we get away from the rhetoric, it's better for the person not to eat Pizza Hut. Look, subhanAllah, you Shabab. Look how al-Islami. Everything is connected. So therefore, there's a need for some of us to pull our money together to get halal pizza. Halal pizza, Brixton. Then we can get off the dole, and we can make our own money. Serious, that's how Islam is. The community in al-Islam is, as they call it, mutamatika, mutadakhila. All of the affairs are connected one to another. So again, ikhwan, if we do see a brother in Pizza Hut, I don't think that is wise for us to be mutashaddidun against them. But no doubt about it, it's better to leave alone that which you doubt for that which you do not doubt. Naam, akhi. Now. That's a good question, Akhi, mashallah. What's your name? Zahid. Mashallah. It's very simple. Clearly, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what the Prophet said and what he did and what was allowed to be done in his presence. The Asuliyun, the people of Asul, add on to that and his physical, his sifat al-khuluqiyah is his physical characteristics, as well as the sifat al-akhlaqiyah, the sifat that he got from his akhlaq, that he was truthful, honest, patient, he joked with the people, he laughed, he was honorable in this. His physical characteristics has nothing to do with al-Islam. The fact that he parted his hair in the middle, the fact that he was this tall, the fact that he ate barley with vinegar and oil, this has nothing to do with al-Islam in general. That's from the dunya. But if a person wanted to make that a religious issue, an issue of deen, what would he have to do? If I wanted to eat barley, oil and vinegar, and I wanted to get blessed for it by making it a religious matter, what would I have to do? Make my niyyah connected to that issue. My intention becomes what? I want to do this because the Prophet did it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have so many of the Sahabas doing. Like Abdullah ibn Umar. When he used to make hajj, he used to make his camel stop at the place where the Prophet's camel stopped, and he would get off and go urinate in the place that he saw the Prophet urinate. And they used to do a lot of things like that. So once the person connects his niyyah with that affair of the dunya as it relates to the Prophet, then it becomes ibadah. I am now eating to make my body strong and so forth and so on, and now it's going to become an issue of ibadah. As for just our regular life like this, it also applies here that number one, the deen, when it comes, the deen is not going to leave affairs unknown. It's going to express to you that this is the deen and this is the dunya. As it relates to birthdays, the Prophet ﷺ said clearly, إِنَّ لَنَا أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ عِيدًا. Verily we, the people of Islam, only have two aids. So once he says that, no one else can create on top of that, because anytime the Prophet make a number to something, it's ibadah. Anytime that the Prophet ﷺ makes a certain place for something, it's ibadah. Anytime the Prophet ﷺ makes a certain kayfiya, or the way you go about doing it, the number, the place, the kayfiya, two more things that Imam Shafi'i said. What are they? The The time, the number, the place. The time. Write this down, everyone. The number, the place, the time, the how to do. Number, place, time, how to do in the order. حياكم الله لا تجتمعوا أمتي على الظلال. See, متواتر. The time, the place, the number, the order, and the how to do. Anytime we look at these affairs, along with the niyyah, when we look at these affairs, any other thing we're able to determine whether this thing is ibadah or not ibadah. So therefore, the birthday, no one can say this is affair of the dunya now. Why? Because they're connecting to this thing of time. And the niyyah. But that issue, Al-Imam al-Shatibi in his book, what's the book, Al-I'tifam, in which he talked about the bid'ah, Al-Haqiqiyah and Al-Idafiyah, he went into some detail about it, and because it was a very, very detailed research, I would prefer to go back to sharpen up my sword again, once again, to come back and we can discuss it in detail to bring more clarification, inshallah. Now, then you look at the fact that you want to travel and you weigh the issues that are connected to your traveling, the qara'in, and then you make a decision, this or that. And then once that decision is made, inshallah, you've made the decision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you to the khayr. Now, even if you're dead sure. Now, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran to Bani Israel, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Do you seek that which is less for that which is better? The person should go to Rabbul Alameen first, and then after that, part of the istishara or the shura that he's taken with the creation, Allah Ta'ala, inshaAllah, will put truth on their tongues and giving you the guidance and nasiha. But if a person acts to make the istishara and the shura first and then istikhara, no one can say that he's wrong. Haram, haram. It's haram for a number of reasons. Probably you can pick 10 different reasons why it's haram. You want 5? Music. Number 2, there's lying, clear lying. And the Prophet ﷺ only allowed lying to be done in 3 instances, a man lying to his wife or the wife lying to the husband in the time of a war or to bring two factions, two fighting parties together. Those people are lying. This guy is not Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. He's not. So lying is not permissible. Number 3, the da'wah is tawqifiyah because it's from the deen. Tawqif. You don't do anything in terms of the ways that we're going to get da'wah except that we have dalil to show us. Because the da'wah is from the deen, from ibadah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنْ قَوْلٍ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better than the one? Than the one who said, who calls to Allah. Best form of ibadah is da'wah. So the da'wah is in the deen, and it's ibadah, and it's tawqifi. We do not do it except with dalil. Where do we have dalil allowing us to do that? Those people have to bring us dalil to say you can do it. Number five, some of those people, akhi, like Adil Imam, they're famous. The Egyptians and the Iraqis and the Syrians, they're famous. Some of those people are afjar al-nas. They're the most evil, afsaq al-nas. In one movie, Adil Imam is going to portray Hamza. In another movie, he's going to portray the guy who owns a casino, Anthony Quinn, who is a known homosexual. No, he's a well-known homo. He's playing Lion of the Desert, Umar Mukhtar. I don't know a lot about Umar Mukhtar, but I know that those people who were in Libya from the Sanusi people, they were Sufis, but they did fight the Libyans and they beat them up real bad. So Allah Ta'ala in Al-Islam has told us, how many proofs is that? Another one, we in Al-Islam have been ordered to respect the day. And Allah Ta'ala, Prophet ﷺ told us, كَسْرُ عَظَمٍ مَيْتٍ كَكَسْرِهِ حَيٍّ. To break the bone of the dead person is like breaking his bone while he's living. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تُسَلُّوا إِلَى الْقُبُورِ وَلَا تَجْلِسُوا عَلَيْهَا. Don't pray towards the graves and don't sit on a grave. You gotta respect the dead people. You have to shroud them, and they have rights, dead people. So how are we going to allow these criminals to come and disrespect those people when that man may have been a righteous man, a companion, and these are the ones who are portraying them? And there are more than that. There are a lot of delils on acting is not permissible. Besides, it's haram, right? And the principle is, everything that's haram, there's something that's halal, that's enough. Why can't we just come and get Sir Alam al-Nubala by Imam al-Zahabi? Why can't we get the book of Imam al-Waqidi about the Sirah, Sirah ibn Hisham, and just read to the brothers about the Battle of Badr? And then the person sits there and he reads and he tells you about Badr with the authentic hadith in the Quran and the tafsir. And then that happened and that happened. Like Sheikh Abu, like Sheikh from Egypt, Muhammad Atiyah Salam used to do every 27th of Ramadan, or in Ramadan he talks about the Battle of Badr in Medina. Wallahi, akhi, wallahi. Every single year that he used to talk about that, you cry, you say, SubhanAllah. We had to get the tape so that we could try to do it for the brothers when we're in the country. But every time in Ramadan we've been in Sudan stuck with malaria, or an American in jail, or somewhere there's a problem, we can't get to the brothers, just give them the talk about Badr and knowing Ramadan.
Well, that's the situation concerning that videos about those Islamic videos.
Na'am akhi, anta nabil. Tafaddal, tafaddal. Na'am nabil. Anta. There's no problem with that. Alhamdulillah. Now, akhi, to be totally honest with you, he kind of gypped you brothers and cheated you brothers in the Usul al-Fiqh class, because there are a lot of sources of Islamic legislation that we didn't go into. Today, some of those sources came up, like Sadd al-Dari'ah,